This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So how do you react when a person is going through a time of trial and suffering? You know, I think it really depends on the circumstances. For example, what if someone is manufacturing and selling meth, and as a result they end up in prison for 15 years? Or what if a man gets drunk, attempts to drive, and then ends up totaling his car? What if a person is sexually promiscuous and ends up getting a venereal disease? What if a person murders innocent people in cold blood and then ends up getting the death penalty? What if a teenager gets caught shoplifting and then ends up doing community service for a year? Well, in such cases like these, we usually say, they're getting what they deserve. They brought this upon themselves. It's only just that they suffer for their crimes. On the other hand, what if someone who does volunteer work at a homeless shelter ends up getting sick and then losing his job, and then the bank forecloses on his home? What about the hard-working widow who works two jobs to support her four children and then finds out one day that she's been diagnosed with terminal cancer? What about the pastor in Europe who gets thrown into prison because he mentioned in a sermon that homosexuality is a sin? What about the young missionary family that gets killed by a group of Muslims simply because they tried to talk with them about the love of Jesus? You know, when such things like this happen, that's when we say, wait a minute, that's not fair. I mean, how could God let that happen? Why should good people suffer when so many evil people have it so good? During the Sundays in Lent and also at last night's Maundy-Thursday service, we've been hearing sermons based on the Beatitudes, those famous sayings of Jesus at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew chapter 5. In fact, allow me to read them to you. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." You know what's really strange about these words of Jesus is that they're actually backwards from the way we normally think about blessing. First, we often wrongly think that blessing is something we deserve. And second, we often wrongly think of blessing in terms of earthly health, wealth, and prosperity. Here's how the human mind usually thinks. We think, if you're a good person and you do good things, then God should bless you with happiness and health and wealth and peace in this life. And if he doesn't, something's wrong. However, as you know, things don't always work out that way in this world, do they? Sometimes people who do evil things get away with it, and they live happy, healthy, prosperous lives. Other times, people who do good things end up suffering various trials and tragedies in this life. So how do we make sense out of all of this? Well, as Christians, we turn to the Scriptures. But when we turn to the Scriptures, we're confronted with more mysteries. For example, we're confronted with Jesus' confusing words in the Beatitudes. And yet, these words of Jesus are the very words that give us hope in the midst of things that we cannot comprehend. For example, Jesus' first beatitude reads, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, what do we learn from this? First of all, as you maybe heard here and there in the previous sermons, to be poor in spirit means that God has exposed the sin in your life and you understand that you deserve nothing from God but His present and eternal punishment. That whole idea was reflected in the confession of sins we used in the bulletin. In other words, even the good people of this world are guilty before God and deserve no good blessings from Him. We need to understand this about ourselves if we are going to understand what it really means to be blessed. You see, if we think that we're good people compared with others who are the bad people, well, the tendency is that we end up thinking that God actually owes us blessings because, you know, we're better than those guys. And of course, we usually think of the blessings that we should receive in terms of physical comfort and happiness, health, wealth, prosperity. But this is simply not the case. According to Scripture, we're all guilty of sin before God, and we deserve nothing but suffering, death, and eternal damnation. But here is the amazing thing. Even though we are guilty of sinning against God, and even though we deserve absolutely nothing from Him, He still showers us with a multitude of blessings. Think about it. Even though we don't deserve it, God gives us food, He gives us clothing, He gives us shelter, He gives us many days of health, He gives us family, He gives us friends, and countless other luxuries that we take for granted. Now, of course, when the poor in spirit receive such physical blessings, the Spirit moves us to say, "Praise the Lord! Because I don't deserve any of these things, and yet God gives them to me anyway." Now, of course, that leads to a question. Why does a holy and just God give such blessings to sinners like us? Well, I'll answer that question later in the sermon. For now, I want to address what Jesus means by that word, bless. You see, even though God does give us many physical blessings, because He knows that we need them, these physical blessings are not what Jesus is talking about when He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Instead, Jesus wants us to understand blessing in terms of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so what is the kingdom of heaven? Well, simply put, the kingdom of heaven is the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life with God that is given to us sinners because of Jesus and all that He has done for us. You see, even though we need certain physical blessings in this world, those physical blessings are not what we truly need. More than anything, we sinners need to be rescued from our own rebellion against God. That's what Jesus meant when He said, "What does it profit a person if he or she gains the whole world but forfeits his soul?" We need to be saved from the eternal punishment we deserve because of our sin against God. Our hearts need to be changed so that we long for God's love instead of chasing after false gods of our own making. In fact, all the physical pleasures and treasures of this world mean nothing if we do not have the kingdom of heaven. You see, only those who are poor in spirit realize that they need something more than health, wealth, and prosperity. Those who are poor in spirit realize that they need mercy, they need love, and they need the life that only Jesus can give us. And that's why Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Those whom God has humbled, those whom God has convicted of sin, such as these hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God, for the forgiveness of sin and eternal life that only Jesus can give us. So my friends, if God has convicted you of sin, and if God has brought you to faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are blessed. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Even when you mourn because you are meek and helpless in this life and in the midst of suffering and pain, you still have the comfort of knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you will inherit eternal life in a new earth that God will give us when Christ returns, and that you are filled to overflowing with God's righteousness, the assurance that you are holy in God's sight through Jesus. And you know what? This blessing of the kingdom of heaven changes us. It changes us from the inside out, with the result that we show mercy to others, just as God has shown mercy to us. This blessing of the kingdom of heaven changes us with the result that we have pure hearts that long for God's gracious will in our lives. This blessing of the kingdom of heaven changes us with the result that we become peacemakers as we share the good news about Jesus with others so that they too may have peace with God. But now I get back to that question I asked earlier. Why would a holy and just God give such blessings to us sinners? Well, the common answer we hear today is, "Oh, that's easy, Pastor. God is love." Well, yes, as we heard last night, God is love. But as we also heard last night, God is also holy and just. God cannot tolerate our sin even for a second. In fact, if you remember the gospel reading, talking about Jesus' crucifixion, when he finished his work on the cross, there was that comment about the curtain in the temple being torn in two from top to bottom. Well, that was a reference to the temple in Jerusalem, which God had commanded to be built centuries earlier, if you read the Old Testament. And in the middle of the temple, in the heart of it, was the Holy of Holies, where God's glory dwelled. But there was this huge curtain in front of it, and that was a symbol that you dare not enter the glory of God, because the moment a sinner enters the presence of the holy and just God, death is the immediate result. That was a sign that even though God is love, as a holy and just God, he cannot simply ignore sin. He must judge it and damn it. But what a wonderful thing. When Jesus finished his work on the cross, God himself ripped that curtain in two, the sign that we can now enter God's glory through Jesus. You see, Scripture is clear that God must punish those who sin against him. And yet, Scripture also says that God loves us sinners and he longs for our salvation. And that creates a conundrum, because how can a God of love be just at the same time and save us? Well, the answer to that question is the title for tonight's sermon, Righteousness Persecuted. You see, Scripture teaches that Jesus is the only righteous one. Jesus is God in human flesh. He's perfect, He's holy, He's without sin. In fact, Matthew's gospel teaches that Jesus came to save us from our sins against God. But how did He do that? Well, He allowed Himself to suffer the persecution that our sins justly deserve. At the beginning of the sermon, I gave you a few examples of what we might call unjust suffering. Good people who are supposedly suffering for no good reason. But you know what? If you read the Bible, you find out that the only unjust suffering was the persecution that Jesus willingly endured on the cross for us. And here's the really amazing thing. God persecuted Himself on the cross so that we sinners could be blessed with His mercy, love, and life. You know, in our modern world, many wrongly think that evil people back then forced Jesus to go to the cross. But that's wrong on two accounts. First of all, it wasn't just the evil people back then. If you study the Bible carefully, it was all our sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. Yours and mine were just as guilty. However, the other thing you have to remember is that no one forced Jesus to go to the cross. Think of it for a second. Did you hear all that taunting and mockery that the people gave our Lord? And He was God. He could have come down from the cross at any time. He could have wiped out those people who were mocking Him at any time, but He stayed there. They were saying, "Save yourself! Why don't you save yourself?" And you know the reason. He didn't save Himself because He was saving us. Jesus willingly went to the cross. He willingly allowed His Father to persecute Him in our place so that we might become His forgiven children. The whole Bible is about this. Almost 800 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words about His death. Listen to what he said. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush Him and cause Him to suffer. And though the Lord makes His life a guilt offering, He will see His offspring and prolong His days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in His hand." Hundreds of years later, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter echoed these words of Isaiah as he wrote what he did in 1 Peter, our reading for this evening. Peter wrote about the righteous one being persecuted to save lost and straying sheep. So now we know why God is able to bless us sinners who don't deserve it, because God has dealt with our sin. He dealt with our sin when the righteous one, His Son, was persecuted in our place of suffering and damnation. Because of Jesus, we sinners are blessed, and the kingdom of heaven is ours. However, the really tragic thing is that not all people are blessed. Not because God doesn't want to bless them, but because they reject the blessing of God. You see, not all people are poor in spirit. Some resist the Holy Spirit, and as a result, they either don't acknowledge their sin, or if they do, they think they can deal with their sin themselves. And sadly, the result is that they see no need for Jesus. In fact, those who reject the kingdom of heaven end up hating the real Jesus as well as those who follow him. Because of this, there are times when the blessed will suffer persecution from those who want nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven. There are times when we will suffer for doing what is good. There are times when we will be persecuted because we speak the truth in love. When that happens, what hope do we have when we are ignored or when we are mocked or when we are even persecuted because we trust in Jesus and strive to live according to his will? Well, the righteous one who was persecuted for us gives us these words of hope. You heard me read them earlier. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, for us who live in America, these words sometimes don't affect us all that much. We try to comprehend what it means to be persecuted for Jesus. But we need to remember that there are people, fellow believers right now in this world, who cling to these words with all their might. I think of the Christians in the Sudan who are being killed and driven from their homes simply because they confess the name of Jesus. I think of Christians in China who have to walk around with fear as they try to live a faithful life for the Lord. I think of Christians in other places around the world and throughout the centuries who've had to lose home and job and even life because they trusted in Christ. The day may come for us. In fact, even now we may experience lighter persecution in certain ways. Maybe you're a young person who tries to live for Jesus at school and some people mock you because of it. Maybe you find that you have difficulty at work because there are certain things you refuse to do, you know they're wrong, and as a result, you're maybe kept from that promotion, or worse yet, you're maybe even threatened with losing your job. Even in America, there are times when we might have to experience persecution for the name of Jesus. As we Christians live in this sinful world, we may have to suffer because we live for the righteous one who was persecuted for us. But when this happens, whatever the situation or whatever the degree of the persecution, whenever that happens, we must remember that we are blessed. The kingdom of heaven is ours. Your sins are forgiven because the righteous one was persecuted for you. And you have the certain hope of the resurrection and eternal life because the righteous one conquered death for you. And one day he will return in glory and he will give us eternal life in a world without sin, pain, or death. However, until that day happens, we still have to live in this world. And as we live in this world, we may be persecuted. And when we are persecuted, how does Jesus want us to respond to those who persecute us? Well, listen to what Jesus says at the end of Matthew chapter 5. He says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." You see, the Spirit moves us to proclaim God's word to those who hate us. The Spirit moves us to pray for them, because as long as they reject Jesus, they have no hope. And the Spirit helps us to remember that we would be just like them if it were not for the grace of God. Tonight is Good Friday. Tonight we remember that the righteous one was persecuted for us. Because of Jesus' death for us, we are blessed. The kingdom of heaven is ours. This blessing is sure and it is certain, even in the midst of suffering and death itself. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a few moments, we'll have the offering, but before